Well, I hope you'll take time to talk to Josiah afterwards and get to know him. Great young man. Sounds like, Josiah, for the first part, you're going to be a holy gopher, right? Performing duties otherwise assigned that you'll find out about. But this is, you know what, this is what it's all about, is people maturing in the faith and us sending them out. And we want more of that. We want more of our young people deciding to go to ministry, to go to foreign lands, to serve the Lord full time. And Josiah has had people in his life, his mom and his dad, his grandparents, pastors and teachers who have influenced him. And it's because of them that he is going where he's going. And it's all about relationships. And so you may be having an influence on a young person, and we seek that at Valley Bible Church. Use this as a plug for Mike and Diane are not here, but Mike Powell is starting a class next week, We Believe, Answering the Questions of Our Faith. When Tara and I were in college, Mike was our pastor, and I'm in ministry because of Mike Powell. And this man has had a phenomenal ministry over 40 years. Countless young men and women have gone into missions and pastoral ministry because of his teaching and his influence. And we are very honored to have him at Valley Bible Church. So I encourage you to attend that class next Sunday, We Believe, taught by Dr. Mike Powell. And he is a very, very capable teacher, and we're very pleased to have him. So, welcome to Valley Bible Church on this Sunday, right before the new year. Before we talk a little bit, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We thank you, Father, for the commission that you've given to us and the commandment to love you with all of our heart and our mind and our soul, to love our neighbor as ourselves, the commission to go into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations until you come back. Praise you, Father, that you are working in our lives, in the life of Josiah and the life of many. You are working to bring people to faith in Christ through hard work, through prayer, through training, through sacrifice, even in times that are fearful. And so we pray, God, that you would use us as Valley Bible Church, as a people of God, as a people of the book, to move forward in our faith and maturity, to hand that down, hand that baton on to the next generation that are coming up quickly after us. As we see another year ending and another year approaching, we're reminded that we will not be here forever on this earth. Our time is limited, and may we be good stewards of the time that you have given to us. And to that end, we pray your help this morning as we look at your word. These things we pray in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. The end is sometimes the beginning, right? We think of this old year going away and a new year coming. This last week, I finished something, and I'm going to begin it anew. I finished reading the Bible on Friday. If you haven't read the whole thing, I'm not going to tell you how it ends. I don't want to spoil the ending for you. Actually, if you haven't read the Bible, all of it, that is, you should. Shouldn't all Christians say, I've read the Bible? Of course they should. All Christians should be able to have said, I've read the Bible. And in the new year, we have a new beginning, but we also have the end of this year. It's kind of growing stale in these last few hours of 2018, and we are now going to begin a new year. And Bible reading is part of that. I want to talk about that a little bit later on. But for me, I follow a Bible reading plan every year, and those keep me on track. I've used several different guides over the years, and they keep me disciplined. They show me the progress that I'm making in reading through the Bible. My goal is to read through the Bible every year. And the guide that I used this last year was a five-day plan, just 5 days. So Monday through Friday, those were the only days of the reading. And my last scheduled day was Friday, a couple of days ago, and my last readings were these. The last three chapters of Job, So ended with Job 42. The second reading was the last psalm, which is Psalm 150. And then the very last reading was the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22. I closed my Bible. Actually, I closed my iPad. And I was done reading the Bible once again. In most days, those readings and in most plans that you follow have an Old Testament reading and maybe a poetry reading and then a New Testament reading. And it always amazes me the interconnectedness of the Scriptures. Even though these chapters are not planned to go together, they didn't choose Job 40 through 42 and Psalm 150 and Revelation 22 to all come together, but they do. And I'm always amazed at when I read through the Scriptures, how interconnectedness the Bible is. And so in my readings on Friday, I noticed a few things that were helpful to me, and hopefully for you as well, in thinking about the new year, thinking about the end of this year, and the beginning of the next, in just a couple of days. First of all, it's just helpful to think about ending you finished something, and now it's time to start anew. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 21, 22 chapters in Revelation, but I want you to turn to chapter 21 in Revelation. And one of the things that I really noticed in the last couple of chapters of the book of Revelation is that the book of Revelation is about the end of all things, and it is about the beginning of all things new. It's about the end of all things. And it is about the beginning of all things new. We are at the end of 1 year. It's going to end. And we are on the threshold of the beginning of a new one. And new things are going to begin. Chapter 21, verse 1 says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. They're going to melt. God is going to purify them with fire. And He's going to fashion a new heaven and a new earth. There comes a time when God brings all things to a conclusion. Everything has a conclusion. God created this universe, and with it He created the very concept of time. Time does not exist in God. He created that. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every minute, every month, and every year are all reminders to us that all things are not complete, because 1 second just ended and another one began. A minute ago, that minute ended and another minute began. Saturday ended and now this new day began. Last week is over. Now we have a new week coming up in a couple of days. 2018 ends and 2019 begins. And it is not until Christ comes back that we see the end of all things. 1 week ends, another begins. 1 year ends, another begins. When Christ comes back, He will end all things and He will begin something altogether new. And that's the cycle of life until it is finally consummated. Revelation 21 continues, if you have your Bibles open, it says, "And there is no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, this new city, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" He's going to make everything new. Everything else is going away. In the next chapter, in chapter 22, verse 13, and this is what gripped me on Friday when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." It's all about Him. That phrase also used way back in chapter 1. The book of Revelation begins with those words. The book of Revelation ends with those words. Human history ends and begins with those words. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and the Omega are the first letters and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega. These are really titles, three titles. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And they all speak of Christ's deity, His eternality, and His sovereignty. They speak of His deity because these same words that He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, in the book of Revelation as well as in the book of Isaiah, are also spoken of God the Father. So spoken of Christ, we see then the deity of Christ, that He is on par, He is equal with God the Father. It is also speaking of eternality because Christ existed before creation and before time, and He will continue to exist after heaven and earth pass away that He makes new. Those titles also stress the fact that all things are about Him. All things are for Him. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the cause and He is the goal of all history. It's all about Him and He's going to bring it all to pass. He brings it all to conclusion. Everything in the Bible, not just Revelation, everything is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ bringing all things to their final conclusion, their final completion, to their final rest. He brings all things to a final rest. And this reminds us, too, of that principle of Sabbath, which we looked at last week. The Sabbath principle found in Genesis is found from Genesis to Revelation. It's a huge concept. And by the way, there are several other passages in the book of Exodus that speak of the Sabbath. And so we're going to come back to that later and tie up more loose ends because there's much more to be said about this topic. But we see at the conclusion of all things, God brings all things to rest once and for all. We saw last week that at creation, God worked for 6 days and then He rested on the seventh. Weeks come and go. Years come and go, ages come and go, and though it seems to be an endless cycle, all these things are looking forward to completion and complete rest in the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the end and the beginning, our Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to a time when weeks and months and years are finally completed, a time when time is complete. Until that time, we are to live out the pattern that God has given to us, both by example and by command, to work and to rest, to work and to rest, to work and to rest. It's a godly pattern. That's what He did. And working and resting and doing that properly before Him is imitating God. It is godliness to work and to rest. And we are called on to do that until He either calls us home or He comes back for us to make all things new. And one of the purposes of the Sabbath was to give rest in preparation for the new week of labor. For most of us, we start work tomorrow. Well, it's the Christmas Eve, but I mean New Year's Eve, but you know what I'm saying. Most of us start work on Mondays, and Sunday is a pause in the week to prepare ourselves for a week of work. And I'll point out, as we did last week, it's 6 days on and one day off. They didn't have weekends like we do. But right now, we are in preparation in the next couple of days for a new year of labor, a new year of continuing to work for the Lord and to do our jobs. And we would do well to pay close attention to the Sabbath principle in our lives throughout this new year. So let's refresh that fourth commandment. Let me read it to you once again from Exodus chapter 20. And it says simply this, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For, this is the reason why, because God made the universe. He made everything in 6 days. The sea, all that is in them, he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, we can't go back over everything that we looked at last week, but let me just say this. What we learned last week is that we're not under the law of the Sabbath any more than we are under any other Old Testament law. That is, we are not under the law to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. We know that because Jesus has fulfilled all of the law, and the law is complete and fulfilled in him, and we are fulfilled in him. But the first principle of the Sabbath predates the law, because it comes from Genesis 1 and 2. And so before there was ever any law, God made the rest day a holy day, a day to be set apart. And so that principle of a rest day predated the law itself, and we see it in the New Testament as well. Jesus fulfilled that. We also saw that we find our rest in Christ. Yes, we have to rest physically, but ultimately we find our rest for redemption in the one who has completed the work of redemption. And when he completed the work of redemption, what did he do? He sat down in glory on high at the right hand of his Father. And sitting down was a way of saying, it is done, it is completed. And that's why he sat down. So in preparation for this new year, I'd like to offer to you three things in applying the principle of the Sabbath to the new year. Just some suggestions for you. How to apply this principle of the Sabbath in the new year. We're ending the old year. The cycle continues. A new year begins unless the Lord comes back or he calls us home. If things go as planned, we're all going to live another year. So let's look at the Sabbath principle and how we can apply it to 2019. And the first is this. Take adequate time to rest in the rhythm of work. Jesus did, so should you. Take adequate time to rest in the rhythm of work. And I know there are many alcoholics, workaholics out here. You knew what I meant, right? Workaholics out here and other aholics, but anyway, a lot of workaholics, and we all struggle with that, turning off. I struggle with turning off. Many of you struggle with turning off and resting. But take adequate time because you need that. Jesus gave us the example. He honored the Sabbath. He rested. He took time away. Even when people were pulling at him and he had all these texts and all these messages and people calling him on the phone, that's what would have happened today. He turned it all off, and he walked away from it, and he rested, and so should you. When I was at a couple of opportunities in my Navy and Marine Corps career, to speak to commanding officers about this principle, and two of them I remember particularly. One was on the bridge of an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Arabian Gulf. The other was in a tent of a Marine Corps colonel in the desert in Iraq. And both times I came to these commanding officers and I said, sir, we maintain our airplanes. We have maintenance records. We have people taking care of them. They're refueling them. They're making sure that there's no metal fatigue. And we have these incredible records to take care of the engines on the ship or the Marines, their weapons, and everybody's working hard to do this. But how well are we doing at taking care of our people, of giving them rest? And we do the same thing. Airplanes wear out. Cars wear out. Vacuum cleaners wear out. Lawnmowers wear out. People wear out. People need rest. You need rest. We all need rest. I'm speaking to myself. We all need rest. One of the things that's becoming more and more prevalent in our culture today is the ubiquity of technology and how that is affecting our lives. It can make life easier. But it also is a distraction, is it not? When we were in China in the subways, it was just phenomenal to us. Every person was on their phone. Everyone. Once in a while, you'd see one person here and there. Subway's going, everybody's on their phone, and we saw many people with two phones. We thought it was bad here. It was worse there. So here's a suggestion for you. Take a sabbatical from technology. Take a Sabbath from technology. Just once in a while this coming year, maybe just one day a month to begin with, turn it off. No text, no social media, no web browsing, nothing. Just turn it off one day. See if you can do that. It's hard. When I study today, I cannot discipline myself. Well, I have on my computer apps that when I'm studying, I have to, it turns off messaging and mail and my, I can turn off any apps that I want. And so I want my Bible app open and I want my word processing document open. And those are the only two things open. And I can set it for 2 hours and then I can't check my mail. I can't check my texts. I can't go online and see, hey, what's happening with the news? You know how it is. I have to do that just to keep myself focused. And I think maybe learning to just turn it off for one day out of the month might help us to have a fresh perspective on the Sabbath principle and on rest itself. So, rest. Take time to rest. Do that. Second thing is this. Take necessary time for meaningful worship on the Lord's day as part of your rest. Jesus did. So should you. Meaningful worship means you're engaged. Don't be a spectator on Sunday mornings. Be a worshiper. And make sure that that time is meaningful and significant because you have prepared yourself. Prepare yourself before. Prepare you and your spouse if that's applicable to you. Prepare your family maybe by praying together. And I know that's hard to do that maybe on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. I know it's chaotic on Sunday morning getting everybody in the car if you have kids. But try it. Or at least for yourself, praying for yourself and praying to prepare for the service. And here are some things that you can pray for, and maybe write these down. Pray for the worship ensemble. Pray for the technology. I mean, we have things that go wrong all the time. Pray for that. And sometimes everybody's looking back, what's going on back there? Well, maybe if you had prayed for those people, nothing would have happened, right? But pray for those people back there. They're concentrating on doing a job. It's hard for them to worship. Think how hard it is for these people up here to worship. Pray for our ushers and our greeters and our safety team. Pray for the Sunday school teachers and the nursery workers. Pray for the students of all ages, the children, the teens, and the adults. Pray for the pastor and the ministry of the word. And pray for the gospel for those who don't know Christ. What would happen if we all did this once a week? What would happen? What could happen if we were a prepared people to give meaningful time to worship as part of our rest, part of our resting in Him? Third, trust the Lord with the stewardship of time with Him as part of your rest. Jesus did, and so should you. He went away to be with the Lord. He would walk away from people and he would go and be by himself with his Father and they would talk. He would pray. So should we. Could he have been doing other things, healing more people? Was he keeping track of the statistics? How many people were being coming into the kingdom and how many people were being healed and being set free from demons. Did he keep track of those things? He's invested in his time with the Father. It's a stewardship. Jesus often used the idea of the stewardship of resources to teach us about investing in spiritual things, didn't he? Those parables about the unrighteous steward and those who take what belongs and investing it and using it. And the Sabbath principle, like we talked about last week, contains this concept, this principle of multiplication. When we give to God part of our day, part of our week, part of our life, having given all to Him, He multiplies our efforts. When He is the key integer in the equation in our lives, that's when divine math happens. I can't take a day off. I've got too much to do. You cannot not take a day off. I can't spend time with the Lord today. I don't have time. You cannot not. If you work 7 days a week, you lose something. If you work 6 days a week and you take one day just for you, you still lose something. But if you work 6 days or five, as the case is probably true for most of us, and you honor Him with one to worship and to rest, you gain something that is otherworldly, perhaps both spiritual and material at times, because God has a way of bringing blessings when we set aside what belongs to Him already in the first place. And He multiplies that. Trust me. Test Him on this, He said in the book of Malachi about finances, the same idea. When we give to Him all that we are and have, and we set time away specifically for Him, it grows. And something spiritual and wonderful happens that is beyond what we could do. Which brings us then to time with God and His Word in the new year. Spending time with God in His Word in the new year, like the Bereans in Acts 17, we want to be people of the book who daily search the Scriptures and who are growing in faith at all times. So here are some places where you can find Bible reading guides, and they were in the newsletter, and I think they're on your note sheet today. The Navigators, that has the classic 365-day-a-year Bible reading plan. Go there, find it, print it out, put it in your Bible. I think that the Android probably has something like this, but I use this. It's just called Reading Plan on iTunes. You can use it on your phone or your tablet. And if you go to iTunes and you just look up Reading Plan, to me, this is the Swiss Army knife of Bible reading. Anything you want is there. If you want to just read the Old Testament, it'll take you through it. If you want to read every day, twice a day, 5 days a week, if you want to read in chronological order, if you want to read just the Old Testament, if you want to read just the New Testament, you can find any plan that'll fit your heart's desire there. And you can link it to your Bible, and so as you check it and you click the link, it'll take you right to your Bible. And it's the most fantastic thing. So another one that is really, really good is BibleTools.com. And they have a number of really, really good plans there. Just you can click on those and print them out. And you got a couple of days to get started. And you have plenty of time to think about beginning the new year. Ken Boa, one of my favorite authors, KenBoa.org, and you can see the Bible reading guide. He has 10 methods for reading through the Bible. You only need one. One of them is just reading key chapters in the Bible, 365 key chapters in the Bible. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying you have to read the entire Bible, but you must read some of it. We should all be reading some of it sometime through the year. As I was reading through the book of Job and finishing up in Job chapter 40, coming up to those last three chapters, the Lord said to Job, "Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am insignificant, and what can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth." What he was saying, I'm going to shut up and listen. there comes a time where we have to stop talking, and before the Lord, we put our hand on our mouth and we just open our ears and our hearts and we listen to what He has to say to us. So here are some ways to read. Read devotionally. That is, your purpose is a time of devotion to God. It's not to check a box. That might help you in tracking progress. But your time is relational. It is devotional. It is your relationship with Christ. See it as a pause, a rest in each day, a time of rest, a time when you pause and you just sit at His feet and listen. Just listen. Second of all, read consistently. Daily, if you can, yes. I know it's probably not realistic to think that you're going to read the Bible 365 days every single day of this next year. Many of you have done that. I've done it in the past. But it's hard. The main thing is to be consistent. It's not like, yeah, I gave up on that 3 months ago. And I haven't read my Bible since. No, read consistently. Read expectantly. God has something to say, and you're all ears, in other words. I have encouraged you many years to take a pen, a highlighter, and use your Bible and mark and underline and write notes to yourself in your Bible. If you have a Bible that's really expensive and you don't want to do that, then read on a tablet and just underline with a highlight with your finger. There are all sorts of ways to do that. But if you have a pen in your hand or you're ready, if you're looking for something, you're going to find something. If you come and you say, okay, God, bless my socks off, I'm waiting, lean forward into the Scriptures and see what He has to say to you. And of course, read prayerfully. Always begin by saying, you know, by confessing your sins and praising Him and asking Him to show you truth. But ultimately, learn to feed yourself. Yes, we can teach you here at Valley Bible Church and we can preach messages to you, but the goal is for you to feed yourself. Josiah knows how to feed himself, and he's going to go overseas and feed others, and we should all be following in that pattern that we have learned to take in the Word of God and feed ourselves and not be babies anymore. The old year is stale and just about gone, and the new year is coming. Christ makes all things new. And may you find rest and refreshment in Him in this new year. Thank you, Father, for giving to us instruction in Your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we found from Josiah this morning. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of Your Word. Looking forward to the hope and the promise of the conclusion and the rest of all things, may we find our rest in You. In Jesus' name, amen.